Good morning. The word of God that's been chosen to be laid on your hearts this morning is found recorded in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" In Christ Jesus, the ruler of wind and wave, dear fellow students of the Word, it's interesting to note how many ancient religions believed in storm gods, gods that ruled the wind and the sea and sent storms. The Philistines believed in Dagon, a part fish, part man god who ruled the sea. Canaanites believed in their storm god, Baal. In Roman and Greek mythology, they believed in Jupiter, Zeus, who had a lightning bolt in his hand, which sent it down on his earth and ruled the thunder and the storms. Or Poseidon, Neptune, the god of the sea, who, if he was angered, would swallow up big fish or big ships by sending a stormy sea. All this, of course, is make-believe. And yet countless millions of people believe in these false gods over the years. In our lesson this morning, we see a clear difference between these fictitious storm gods and our storm stiller, Jesus. Not only sends the storms, but also stills them. Jesus had been teaching and preaching and healing throughout the day, and now it was night. And so he told his disciples that, "Let's cross over to the other side for some rest." As they slowly began to sail across the Sea of Galilee, Jesus went in the back of the stern, laid down and fell asleep on a pillow, and suddenly a terrible windstorm arose. Literally, our text says, it was an earthquake tornado-like storm, a fierce, violent wind, and a quaking sea. The sea was a monster of wave after wave, trying to engulf this little ship with the 13 passengers. Disciples, no doubt, tried to ride it out. With their sailor expertise, they thought they could handle this. But the waves began to fill the boat. In panic, in fear, they woke Jesus up and they cried out, "Lord, save us, we're going to perish, we're going to drown." And, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" They had tried their best and failed. What a sharp contrast between these fear-filled, panic-stricken disciples and the sleeping Jesus. They truly showed their not misunderstanding of who Jesus was. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Jesus, not care? That's unthinkable. How could they say that to him? Well, these good friends of Jesus said that in faithlessness and fear. So what does Jesus do? Rebuke them? No. He gets up, and we're told, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." In creation, we know that God said the word, and it was so. Let there be, and it happened. Here Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And it happened. Not gradually as the wind died down and the waves calmed, but immediately. Our text says, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Interesting use of words. We know what a great storm is, right? A lot of wind. But what's a great calm? Calm is calm, right? But a great calm is as if it never happened. 1 minute, wind and waves and storm and water, and all of a sudden, calm blue skies, little lapping of the waves in the boat. They couldn't even see the storm go to the horizon. It just disappeared. It's gone. What an awesome and eerie moment that must have been. Jesus then directed his words to the disciples. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Jesus first rebuked the wind and the waves and calmed the storms in the disciples' lives. Then he rebukes them and calms a storm in their faith life. They were indeed very weak in their understanding and in their faith of Jesus. They should have known that with Jesus there in the boat, whether he was sleeping or not, they were safe. They called him teacher, but showed that they really hadn't learned very much from him because they doubted. But they did learn a lesson, and we should too. On the stormy sea of life, Jesus calms our storms. Our life is like traveling on a sea. Most days, the majority of our days, everything's calm, peaceful, serene. But then there are days when storms and troubles and trials arise. Why? Where do these things come that we find so hard to cope with? Most often because of sin, sometimes our own, sometimes others. But there are times when God sends these storms to us in order to teach us some very valuable lessons. Jesus sent this storm to expose the disciples' fear, weakness, doubts. And he stilled the storm to remove these doubts and strengthen their faith. Probably most of us here this morning, from infancy, from babies on, have been told about Jesus. How God the Father sent him into this world to be our Savior, to live and die for us. We know that he's always with us. We've learned that from infancy. We believe this. We profess this. We confess this in our hymns. We profess this in our creeds, and yet the Lord sometimes raises storms in our lives to expose our doubts, our worries, our fears, our human frailty, our weakness of faith. The disciples' faith was small because they looked upon the storm as being greater and stronger than Jesus. How often don't we also sometimes see the storms of our life as being larger, greater, bigger than our Savior? The storms of loneliness, maybe lack of friends, tons of homework, busyness, sickness, accidents, injuries, stress, temptation, all these storms expose our doubts, expose our worries, reveal our spiritual weakness. So Jesus stills the storms in our lives to still the storms in our hearts. He lovingly assures us of forgiveness when our hearts feel the weight and burden of the sins that we commit. He points our eyes of faith to our heavenly home when life becomes one of sometimes misery and heartache and pain and loneliness and despair. He assures us of his presence always, of his love, of his deliverance. Jesus has told you and me that as Christians, we should expect storms in our lives and in our faith. Our sinful flesh leads us to sin every single day in our thoughts and our words, and more storms come. The devil tempts us that he's our friend. Follow his lead, and we'll have more fun. That just leads to more storms. And the sinful world tries to drown us with material things. Let us put our confidence and our Savior Jesus. No matter big or small, whatever our problems, our fears, our dangers, our worries, our doubts, our stresses, our trials, our sins, or our difficulties, the Lord is right there beside us, hearing our cries for help. And he says to us in his word, "Peace. Be still. Be still, my soul. Thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul. The waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below." Jesus, our storm stiller, has calmed all the storms of our yesterdays. And he's calming all the storms of our todays. And fear not, young adults, he will calm all the storms of your tomorrows. Lord, give us such a faith as this, and then whate'er may come, we'll taste e'en now the hallowed bliss of our eternal home. Amen. We'll join in singing hymn 651, verses 1 and 4.